Gentlemen, at 3:31 p.m. This is the Desert Healthcare District Finance, Legal, and Administration and Real Estate Committee. I'd like an invitation to approve the agenda.
So moved.
I second.
All in favor, by acclamation, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
So moved, indeed. Public comment is invited at this time and may be made on any items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within the subject matter and scope and jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on an agenda item when it comes up for discussion and or action. That being said, are there any public community members here today, Andrea?
We do. Linda Evans is with us, but she does not have any public comments at this time.
Thank you. Welcome, Linda. Okay. I'd like a motion to approve the minutes of the January 11th meeting, please.
So moved.
I second.
All in favor, by acclamation, say aye. 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 So indeed moved. We have 3 votes yes. We would have to have we'd like a report now for Chris, if you wouldn't mind introducing the leasing update, page 9 of our agenda, of our packet, I should say.
Okay, thank you, Director Shore. So just to highlight, we will be addressing this a little later in the meeting, but as was discussed at last month's F&A committee meeting, our audit firm, London Guttrie, is going to be switching the audit function to a new organization called Coachella Valley Accounting and Auditing. So that will be brought forward on a later agenda item to approve the engagement letters with the new organization. With regard to the Las Palmas Medical Plaza, we are now 97.4% occupied. We only have one suite that is presently vacant, and we are hopeful to have 100% occupancy, hopefully, before too long. That would be a first, at least in my knowledge of any time involvement with the Medical Plaza. So I think that's pretty exciting if we're able to get that 100% occupied here in the near future. So. And kudos to Eric for a lot of his effort and participation with the tenants and helping to keep things moving forward very well with our relationship with the tenants and the new occupants, because we have had 3 new tenants in the last few months. And so I think there's a very good relationship established there. So. Any questions regarding the report?
I do. What's the 0.6%?
What's the what?
How many square feet is that?
0.6%. How do you get to 97.4? Where's the other 0.6%?
Well, there's 2.6% is, it's based on the percentage of the square feet.
Okay.
So all right. There's 1,280 square feet that's not leased. And so that equates to 2.6% of the total square footage.
Got it. Okay. I thought it was just the number of units. I was like, where's that 0.6% unit?
Ah, good question.
Now I learned something.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions related to this that can be addressed now, but we'll address them later on? Okay, wait a second. Took my meeting report away. Give me just a second, folks, to reestablish my screen here. Thank you. I'll be just a second.
The agenda's on the screen too, if that's helpful.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to bring mine up on mine. I want to be able to scroll at my convenience.
Okay.
And exercise my prerogative as chairperson. No, I'm kidding.
As you are entitled.
Indeed. Okay, here we go. Just 22, month of February. Okay, thank you very much for your indulgence, folks. Moving the agenda right along, if I could reference you to page 10, we have a schedule of all the items on the in the financial report. I will go through them one at a time and reserve the action item to the end if there's anyone who has any questions. Do we have any questions about the cumulative profit and loss statement for the district, including the medical plaza up through the first three items, cumulative profit? Anybody have any questions, any issues, any concerns
that I'm they sorry, would like? I'm confused. What pages are you referring to?
We're starting on page, actually on page 11.
Okay.
If you start on page 11 and scroll through all the way through to page 20, you have all of the P&L action activities of the district.
Got it. Okay. I didn't understand what documents you were referring to, but now I understand.
Yeah. The first three items in the financial report, pages 10 through 20. My understanding, Chris, is that we're over budget on the revenue side and under budget on the expense side for the reasons noted.
That's correct.
Get to that?
That is correct. So we're doing substantially better on the property tax revenue. Matter of fact, the most recent one that came in, a little over $1 million, was actually 8% higher than 1 year ago. So we are seeing the benefits now of the real estate increases in value. So we should have, you know, some good revenue for the rest of the year as well.
Now, let's assume the year was over right now and you had this excess. That money becomes available for next year's distribution, or does it immediately just go down into the...
Wait. There's not a distribution, but
distribution, allocation to other projects.
What we've gained in property tax, we've lost in investment. So, and I don't see bonds coming, producing more. So we're probably going to continue to lose in our investments.
Yeah, no, but I'm asking a more of a philosophical question. If we have a net surplus at the end of the year, does that just drop to the balance sheet, or do we incorporate that into next year's operating budget for for allocation and the grant side?
Well, the budget is an annual basis, so it will, whatever our net income is at the end of the year, will roll into the balance sheet. However, if there's, you know, grant funds that's in budget, like we did last year, that is determined to move forward. If we have available grant funds that haven't been awarded, then that's something that can be addressed. But as far as the property tax revenues, you know, the cash part of that goes into our investment accounts and obviously used accordingly. And as Director Zendel was indicating, that our investments are negative $468,000 related to our budget. So, so overall, our revenue number is almost kind of a break even between the two.
Okay. Any other questions about this before we move on to the accounts receivable aging summary?
Just a question. On that one topic, could I just add that any excess in our grant funding, we have the option of rolling it over into the next year's funding like we did, or right. not, in which right. case we'd go into the investment accounts.
Right. That's correct.
Just wanted
That's
to clarify. Correct.
That's correct. The accounts receivable aging report.
I do have a question.
Really, I'm sorry?
I have a question on direct expenses. It says lower reach, lower.
What page? Reach. What page you on?
Page 11.
Okay.
Item 2, direct expenses, lower wage related, $155,000 due to open positions. Can you just let me know what those open positions are?
There's the director of development, which we're looking at that more as a grant writer at this point in time. And a policy analyst position that we have not filled.
Okay. Thank you for that. That was my only question here.
Any other questions about the P&L before we move on to the accounts receivable aging? I have a question about that. Why is the foundation lagging as much as it is? We may have to put them into collection. Uh-huh. No, I'm kidding,
we pay, the foundation pays the district every so often, and so we that's an internal function, and so we do create a payment to the district.
Yeah, really. So you're saying it really doesn't matter because it's in one pocket and out the other, basically.
Exactly.
Okay. Is that something you do quarterly rather than every month?
Correct. Yeah, we don't do it every month. So usually when it gets built up around that 200,000 range, we'll, and one of the deals that why it's been delayed just a little bit is we, when we get to the foundation, but I can address that here, is that we have had to move some monies from our investment accounts over into our operating account because our operating account was getting low enough that we needed to replenish that. So we will be paying, the foundation will be paying the district here soon. We won't turn it into collection.
Okay. Thank you so much. Anything else related to accounts receivable? Does anybody have any issues related to the deposits, either for the district?
If I could, Director Short. But one thing I wanted to point out with the receivables is the sovereign account wanted to give credit to the customer or whatever. That's the payment that we receive with regard to the condo unit property that we receive $750 a month on. And he's been traditionally very far behind, but the last 2 or 3 months he's been actually ahead of the game. And Eric, I meant to let you know we just received the March payment today, so don't know why he's being so prompt and paying in advance now, but we're appreciative of it. So I just wanted to point that out.
How long does that go on for?
As long as we have the lease goes till like 2059, I believe.
69.
But that's the one that we brought some information forward several months ago, that the property owners at that condo complex would be possibly interested in purchasing the land, because this is a land lease that the district has ownership to. So anyway, that may come forward at some point. That's my guess, is the sovereign is trying to remain current so that maybe they're in good graces with the district when it comes time to potentially settle that, because there would have to be a buyout of his sublease in that deal. So,
okay. Where is it located?
It's at Via Marileste and Vistachino on the northeast section or corner of that intersection.
Okay, thank you, sir. Item number 6 under Roman numeral 7 is the check register. I didn't see anything out of the ordinary that is worthy of my concern. Anybody have any questions about the check register? And again, thanks so much for putting in the grant payment disbursements. It makes it easier to discriminate and looking at the difference between, you know, allocations and legitimate expenses of the organization. Thank you.
I do have a question. I do have a question. There's several bank service charges on there. I would think our accounts are big enough that we wouldn't pay any service charges. Is there something weird about that?
No. I mean, when you say several bank
service charges. I see on page 27, there's one for Union Bank of 9/11.
Right.
And there's one for, it just says bank service charge on 125 for 465.
Yeah, so the 465. And then what was the other one that you saw? I'm sorry.
The last one on page 27, which is Union Bank, $911.
Oh, yeah. So those are two separate accounts. As a matter of fact, the 911 service charge is being refunded. Because that's the new account that was set up and they started charging the monthly fees to that account, and they should not have yet. So,
but in general, we don't have to pay banks for service charges, do we?
Well, there's all kinds of fees that, you know, that are part of our fee analysis. I mean, there's transaction fees, there's
So maybe it's because it's not a personal account then. I'm just not, I mean, I would think that with so much money in the bank, you don't need to pay fees, but maybe I'm being naive.
Yeah, with the business accounts, a little different. That's how they kind of make their money.
Well, they make their money by holding our money, but anyway.
That too, but they don't invest it too much, I don't think, but anyway. So yeah, that 900 was pretty excessive, and so I'd say that went away. But we will have, you know, you'll see like the 465 type of amount, might be more like 600, I think, going forward.
Okay, any other questions about that? If not, we can move on to the
card. Dr. Borja does.
Can you tell me who SoCal Computer Shop is? To us,
that's Harry that does our computer work. That Harry Slack. So any kind of IT services. That's who.
Do they do like security for us?
I'm sorry.
Do they do security for us? Like at work, the IT department also does like internet security for us.
Yeah. No, he does. Yeah, he makes sure that we have the internet security that we need.
For example, I was having a password. One of my email account got hacked or something, and he had to spend time resetting them and changing my passwords and walking me through how to do that, since I'm too old to know how to do it myself.
And the amount that you're seeing there, probably you're talking about the 9,700. Okay, the normal monthly fee is about $800, and that's just servicing all of us. You know, so if we have calls or like what Director Zendel was just talking about, those kinds of things are typically covered in that fee. The $9,700 is for the audiovisual equipment that's going to be going into the RAP conference room and our
capital equipment.
Yeah. So that's the purchase of the equipment and that for the conference room.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions, folks? If not, we can move on to the credit card purchases. The holiday cards, this was the personal gift to each member of the staff. That's item 6352. On page 28?
Yes, that's the gift cards. The gift holiday cards that we gave away. From state or are not Stater brothers.
Right.
But,
right. Okay. Thank you. Any questions regarding that? I have a question on the page 29. What is Global Premier Fertility LLC?
Okay, so they're the new tenant that is in 3 West 101, and that's the TI allowance reimbursement.
Okay.
That was negotiated with them. So they're good point with them. They are pretty much ready. They've completed all their tenant improvement work. They are talking like we're moving in equipment this week.
We're reimbursing them as opposed to paying the contractors. Is that basically what this represents?
Yeah, so they pay the contractors all the work that's necessary, and then we reimburse them directly, but we require proof of payment to the contractors to ensure that that work was actually legitimately done.
Okay, thank you. All right, any other questions about the check register? The retirement plan, which is listed on item 9 of Roman numeral 7, is constant. Nothing new to report there. Everyone is okay and stable.
I'm just surprised that we're not seeing any more movement or retirement of individuals that have been there since 1997. I mean, these are employees of record going back to 1997. So they've been around a while.
Do we ever check and verify with?
Yes, pretty much annually. I've confirmed with their human resource department that the list of participants are active.
Okay. Well, there's a very interesting phenomenon that I've noticed in healthcare institutions that you have some people who affiliate with the organization and spend their entire lifetime at a particular facility. So work is, you know, coming to work has multi dimensions to besides just earning a living. It's a social environment. It's a support environment. And tend to see that occur in the hotel services divisions more so than any place else, that people truly affiliate with the institution, with the facility, and commit themselves. So in a way, I understand your concern, but I've seen this on multiple occasions. I can tell you in one instance, I remember giving out a 48-year award pin to an individual. The woman was older than I was.
Well, and I commend these people because I honestly anticipated that going into the pandemic and with all the stress on the healthcare providers and service people that, you know, some of them might retire. I mean, we did have maybe a handful, I would guess, in the 2 years, but I think it's a credit to the staff that has continued through that. Now, we do see a lot of turnover because I get, I receive emails whenever anybody is terminated or leaving employment from there. So there is a lot of turnover, but not as much in the
not in this age group,
like say in the registered nursing.
Right,
it's younger people. We get a lot of like CNAs and you know.
And I'm sure if you do
lower type of positions that are a lot of turnover, but the RNs. For the most part, they're sticking around, most of them.
Well, that's good news. That's very good news. In place over time is the ideal situation.
You're talking 25 years for these people there. And some of them going back to, you know, employment in the 1980s. So
Yeah, not surprised.
35, 40 year.
Yep. Tenure. If we can look at page 31, we have the grant payment schedule. It's pretty self-explanatory. We have a balance of $5 million and change, some of which is carry forward from previous years. And is there anything extraordinary, Donna, that needs to be discussed here?
Just a reminder here that the $1.8 million that was reserved and carried forward from last year, what we're doing as we issue or award new grants during the current year, those are being, they reduce that $1.8 million. So if you kind of look to the bottom of the column that has all the red numbers in it, the first number, first column, that has 521,000 at the bottom of the red column. Everybody sees that as the third column from the right. But that 521,000 represents the awards of the current year. So it's reducing the 1.8 million to 1.3 million. And that's the balance of funds that are available from that prior year allocation. So there's the 1.3 million that's remaining of that plus the 4 million in our current annual budget. So we still have, as you're seeing the number down at the very bottom, the 5.3 million is what we have available to issue grants for the year.
Okay, thank you very much. Dr. Zendel, do you have any questions?
No.
Good, okay. Moving right along, the lease extension for iCare Services, Chris.
Okay, so iCare Services, which is also known as Molluscus Eye Institute, they've been around forever. They have one of the prime suites at the Medical Plaza.
Hey, Chris, before we move forward, are we going to approve the financials?
Yeah, that's good idea. Thank you, Andrea.
I move to approve the financials.
I'm sorry, excuse me. I'd like to call the, thank you very much, Andrea. I'd like to call the question, a motion to approve the financials as submitted. Thank you.
I made the motion and Karen seconded it.
All in favor by acclamation, say aye. 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 Karen?
Aye.
Thank you. All right, thank you very much. So moved and so reported. Chris, if you'd introduce the lease extension issues, please.
Okay, so in the lease that was renewed in 2018, which was a five-year lease that currently expires March of 2023, the tenant is, there were two optional five-year extensions. And so the tenant is interested in exercising that first option and continuing from 2023 to 2028. So this is just an addendum to the agreement that will extend that lease. They have not asked for a tenant improvement allowance. They have, however, requested a broker commission because they do use a broker. And so we, for consideration of approval, considering a 4% broker commission that the district would pay.
I don't understand that. That was going to be my question. Why?
Me too.
Why do they have the privilege of invoking that request? And B, why does that attach to our liability?
Well, it's the reason it's considered is because they chose not to ask for a tenant improvement allowance, which as they requested a tenant improvement allowance, we would have offered or recommended approval for that. So,
but are they having to pay a broker?
Yes, they are.
So that's the question: is why do they have to pay a broker?
Why do they have to pay a broker?
Because that's what they're, so iCare Services is a large national organization. So they use a real estate broker to deal all of their leases.
So you don't deal directly with Molluscus then? Was that what you're saying?
Correct. We're dealing with we're dealing with the real estate broker for iCare Service Partners.
Okay, and they're requesting that we absorb the cost absent a tenant improvement request.
Correct. Had they been requesting a TI allowance, we would have, you know, not accepted their request to do a reimbursement of broker commission.
Okay, thank you. And this is not, is this a common practice or is this an extraordinary issue?
I think it's fairly common, especially with larger organizations. I mean, we get the same thing like with Quest Diagnostic, you know, national like Fortune 500 companies and that deal strictly through real estate brokers to, you know, negotiate their deals. Now that's what they
interesting.
In this contract, if we pay the broker commission, we will not be doing any tenant improvements.
Correct.
Until after 2028.
Well, after 2028 would be a new extension. So they may at that point, that's would be 5, actually 6 years from now, they may need to look at doing some tenant improvements. So with that that next extension, they may request tenant improvements. So at that point, we would consider tenant improvement allowance versus the broker commission.
We'll okay. Any other questions?
That time comes.
Before we move the question, are there any other questions related to this extension request?
Yes, on our end, they're still upholding like the value of the space. Like there's no holes in the walls. There's no.
Oh yeah, no. They did a pretty complete tenant improvement when they did the 2018 lease. So they've, and that's where my eye doctor is, and they've done a really nice job there, as well as they were one of the tenants that with the interior fire sprinkler system, they were one of the tenants that actually agreed to work with us in doing the fire sprinkler as part of their tenant improvement work. So that worked out very nicely. They did it in conjunction with their tenant improvements. And so it's, you know, it just was kind of a win-win situation for both the tenant as well as us.
So I move that we approve this and send it on to the board for final approval.
Mm-hmm. Is there a second?
I second.
All in favor, by acclamation, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, so moved, so recorded. The final item on the agenda for the foundation is the transition of our auditors. Chris, if you'd appreciate that, I'd appreciate that.
Sure. As been indicated a little bit earlier, the audit firm Gunn and London Guthrie has been our auditors for the prior 2 years. And we were recently informed that the audit function of London Guthrie is being split off and developing into a new organization called Coachella Valley Accounting and Auditing. The personnel or the staff for the audit function with London Guthrie is what's moving into this new organization. So the continuity of the audit staff will continue. We were also informed that Gary Dack, who has been the lead partner on the audits, he is going to transition into retirement over the next couple of years, but he will continue on during that transition. So some of you met and remember Shannon Maidment, who was the auditor that performed the single audit on the foundation for the federal funds for the CARES and the ELC funding. She's one of the main partners in the new organization. So what we have before you is acknowledgement from London Guthrie. They will be disengaging from the London Guthrie component and requesting release of work papers to Coachella Valley Accounting and Auditing, as well as the engagement letters that are before you for consideration of approval to sign and complete that process.
And it does require action on our part. Are there any questions to this issue?
I move that we approve it.
I second.
All in favor by acclamation, say aye. Thank you. Aye. And we have accomplished the agenda for the district. Is there any other new business that's not on the agenda that's worthy of consideration?
One item, Director Shore, I think we skipped over was CEO report. So I don't know if Conrado, if he had any comments or not.
He's still recovering. The jaw doesn't work yet. It's still on. No. Conrado, well, if there's anything you'd like to add to us, I'm just joking.
It's okay. Thank you. Thing that it's related to something we talked about, which is the foundation that needs some replenishing. We are working with the Department of Public Health to get some additional funding for the Coachella Valley Equity Collaborative. So that is going to help us. We're looking at least $90,000 to be allocated to the,
right. to the our own.
And but
well, I've lost my sound.
I'm here.
We can hear you.
Can you hear us now, Arthur?
Okay, I think I'm back. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, my sound came back. I don't know what happens.
So we don't have a final contract yet, but we're looking at having some additional funding from our UHS public health.
Okay, good to know. Is there any other new business to come before us, ladies and gentlemen? If not, I'll call an adjournment for 4:08 p.m. February 8th. And with everyone's approval, we can move to the foundation meeting and call that to order on 4:08 as well. I'd like to call a request to approve the agenda as submitted.
Second.
All in favor, say aye. Aye. So moved. Once again, if there's public comment, members of the community are welcome to speak for up to 3 minutes on matters not listed on the agenda. The committee will not address any items from an action perspective. Public input can be offered during the meeting and or during the discussion of any items on the agenda itself. Is there any public comment at this time, Andrea?
No public comment.
Okay, thank you very much. The January 11th minutes have been submitted for consideration, and a motion to move the agenda is in order.
So moved.
I second.
Any opposition? Approval by acclamation. Say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Indeed. Aye. So moved. Dr. Conrado, would you like to offer us a report at this time?
None at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. And we can now move along to the financial statements on pages 3 and 7. Once again, reviewing the P&L of the organization, there are no extraordinary items as I can see. Anybody have any other questions, concerns, or issues relating to financial statements?
Can you just explain to me the bequest that we have? It's not like a ton of money. I was just curious.
Yeah, so I don't know if you're familiar with Frederick Lowe. He was the songwriter for My Fair Lady, and as well as other music. And so there was a bequeath to the foundation for royalties. that comes from his music that the foundation receives. And it used to be well over $100,000, but the last few years has been more like $60,000 to $70,000. But those are resources that we receive through that.
We ought to put on a musical.
Yeah. Yeah, the more you play the music, the more we get.
Yeah, exactly. And frankly, I'd like to just once again go on record of saying this is a field of opportunity available to us to develop a bequest program. I'm blocking on the terminology that's used in other organizations, estate planning, life care planning, that would allow people to endow the organization. And to me is correlated to the ultimate acquisition of a development director, whether it's a grant writer or a person who can begin to develop the programming, and working with Alejandro and Will to promote the organization in that spirit. There's an extraordinary, we live in a very senior community, and there's a lot of wealth and people out there engaged in tax planning and life estate planning that could ultimately produce a revenue stream to the organization that would that would parallel this and actually grow the agenda in a very, very remarkable way. Because once it starts, it's cumulative. And like Mr. Lowe's contribution, it just doesn't stop. It just keeps coming. So I want the record to reflect that that's a very significant priority that I would like to see developed in an appropriate time frame. Thank you. Moving along, are there any questions related to the deposits or the check register? Hearing none, are there any issues related to the distributions noted in our credit card expenditures? Are they any higher? They're probably a little higher because it's December, Chris. I'd have to think that. And we had the huge rental car expense, which we anticipated. But short of that, everything else is pretty much within normal limits.
Yeah. Well, they're pretty much routine kinds of expenses. Some of them, you know, come from the collaborative efforts. Most of them, as a matter of fact, the vehicle rental, as well as fuel for the rental truck and different kind of refreshments, et cetera, that are associated with the vaccination and testing events and such. So,
We have a check register for a Miguel Delgado. Can you tell me who that is?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Forgive me. A check registered to Miguel Delgado.
That has to do with some marketing / communications that Will works with an individual that with regard to the collaborative.
Thank you.
Okay. Our last item on the agenda is once again the outstanding grant profile. Items in red, obviously, if you're following the same protocol, are items dispersed in the June-July time period with a remaining balance of $1.5 million. There are no other, this correlates to the other report, if I'm not mistaken.
It does. It's saying the $1.5 million is indicating what we have available exactly on the foundation side to issue grants. If we could, before we finish the financials, it kind of relates to this. And I would, if we could go back up to page 7, please. So this I just wanted to highlight. If you see checking account 151 or line 151, you'll see the $1.1 million on that line item. We just moved $1 million from the Morgan Stanley account just because the our operating cash account has been reducing over some time. And so I just like to bring this to attention that in the restricted funds column, the third column over, those financial resources in that upper half of the, which would be the asset section of $5 million, those are the dollars that are committed to our outstanding grants and obligations that we currently have. The column that says general fund, the $1.5 million, that's what we have available to us for whatever efforts we're going to expend, whether that's paying the $200,000 over to the district for the overhead allocation, as well as if we issue any new grants from that $1.5 million that's on the grant schedule, though any grants that are issued from that will need to be paid from this $1.5 million. There does need to be an effort to Director Shore's comments about some other resources need to be looked at as coming into the foundation to kind of help us on a long-term situation. So just wanted to point that out. And then the last grant schedule, sorry, we could go to that. That's the one for the CARES and ELC funding for the collaborative.
Actually, before you go to page 12, can I just ask a question about 11?
Sure, go ahead.
Just to remind us, the mayor's race funds of $72,000, now that we're not really involved in CBHIP anymore, is that, first of all, I may be wrong about that. I'm not wrong, I am wrong about that. Okay, so the question is the $72,000 going to be used, and how's it going to be used, and what's the expectation?
Alejandro, do you want to weigh in on that, please?
Yeah, definitely. One of the projects that kind of took the back seat to our COVID-19 response and was our Connect IE project, previously known as CBHIP. Now with the new year starting and having Sergio on board, we will be taking up a little bit more, picking up the activities there with Connect IE. There's also a pending contract for some monies we should be receiving from IEHP to assist with some of those efforts. So to answer your question, Director Zendo, some of those grant dollars will be used for marketing and outreach that we'll be doing to promote the Connect IE platform and the new feature, which is the closing loop, which is the electronic referral network that we want to get up and running with our community partners.
So what happens when the $72,176 is used up?
Then we'd have to look at, you know, recommitting some other resources.
But so do you anticipate that we will need to commit more resources? Is the question. I'm just trying to look ahead. I mean, we sort of haven't paid, I haven't paid as close attention to it because it was from a fund that was put over for that purpose. We haven't had to allocate any additional funds. But I think, and again, we don't need to talk about it now, but at some point we need to sort of think about, well, what's going to happen to this project after those funds run out? And do we want to change the project or get rid of the project or give it to somebody else or what?
It's hard to predict what's going to happen because we're now looking at changing the system based on what IEHP is doing. And the reality is that COVID has changed everything that we were doing with the foundation. And things might continue to evolve. We don't know what's going to happen with CalCare. if CalCare becomes a reality, this might be a very useful platform to enroll individuals in CalCare. So hard to predict what's going to happen.
Yeah. And I think there is even some traction that is gaining through the Behavioral Health Initiative. You know, they want to do, you know, through some of the work that Jana is involved in, they wanted to create a resource guide of services that were specific to behavioral health and mental health. And ConnectIE is that platform that could connect folks to these services that our community is seeking ever more. As you know, Conrado mentioned, you know, here in the foreseeable future, we don't know that, you know, some of these community members that are coming out to our events, they have additional needs that we might be able to connect them with. So I think that was one of the things of why we want to, you know, re-engage, you know, with this project and get it up and running once again. We have been doing a little bit of marketing at a very simplistic level. We have been including the ConnectIE brochures and all of the goodie bags that we give the participants at our vaccination clinics and our testing clinics. And I've also done a couple of presentations with some of our grantees when we do have our grant funders meeting with individuals like Olive Crest. You know, they have the new beautiful center there in Palm Desert off of Cook Street that wasn't part of the platform. So I think, you know, having this service and continuing to work with IEHB and the rest of the partners as this project is evolving to now have this electronic referral system, and it also is going to have a needs assessment for individuals, you know, looking at the different social determinants of health, and then it's going to prioritize some of those needs and services based on a series of questions those individuals will answer. So it's going to be a really comprehensive, you know, program that's going to be connecting folks to programs and services here locally in the Coachella Valley.
So I'm not questioning the need for the program. I'm sort of questioning what the process is. So if somebody, will people be asked to come forward with grants for this and it'll go through the program committee? Or is this sort of a separate thing that doesn't go through the program committee like the Behavioral Health Initiative, which is sort of set up as a separate? I'm just a little confused. And it's, again, I'm not questioning the need. I know it's there. I'm just wondering how the grantees will make their need known and how we would respond. Is it through the grant program or something else?
I think the grantees themselves, we just set them up with an appointment where either myself or Sergio will be able to meet with them, set up administrative access and include them into the database. I don't think there's very little, you know, commitment from the organizations themselves. But IEHB is also going to be providing some incentives for these organizations that are going to be part of it, the electronic referral network, because they understand that it's going to require some additional staff time to have a dedicated staff person that's going to be fielding all of the emails that are coming through.
So who will a request for new funds come from? And how will it be handled? That's what I'm asking.
I think once we get to that bridge, Director Zendo will cross it. I think as Conrado mentioned, I think it's too early on to predict what's going to happen with the project. We're just taking it off the shelf, you know, blowing the dust off of it and re-engaging the community at a deeper level than we have been in the last 18 months.
Okay.
And Les, if I may, it's the grantees that are involved with CVHIP now, ConnectIE, are more like the service providers. So they're signing on to help their own constituents and patients and clients. And we're basically subcontractors because ConnectIE doesn't know the Coachella Valley. So as Alejandro mentioned, we will be getting a contract of probably about $87,000 to continue the work to promote Connect IE and to sign on other grantees, AKA service providers, so that it's a really rich resource center. And so the money would still possibly be still be coming from IEHP as we as they keep subcontracting with the foundation.
So when they subcontract with us, does that money go into this health portal fund?
Yes.
Okay, I see it. That's what I didn't understand. And okay, that makes sense.
Any other comments? Any new business to come before this committee? If that's the case, I'd welcome a motion to adjourn, and I would move that myself. We stand adjourned at 4:26 on February 8th. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your time and your efforts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Arthur.
Okay.
Thank you. Are we off the record now?
No, not yet.
I'd like to just ask that nothing to do with